space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Thank you. goddamn is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shazia's out here in the Mad Science Laboratory. I'd just like to say to everybody out there in the world, nothing in this world is possible, okay? Been joined by, looks like we got Raymond, we got Thomas, and Muddy, and possibly, looks like maybe Terry coming in. So, how y'all doing?
Excellent.
Having a ball as usual.
One of you guys sound like you're in a wind tunnel.
Is it me? I don't think it's me.
I don't know. Anyway, like I said, nothing in this world is possible, man. You know, if you go out there and you listen in on folks and see what everybody's talking about, you know, some folks believe we never went to the moon, and some folks believe the moon doesn't even exist, and some folks told the Wright brothers that the plane would never get off the ground. And, you know, we were having a conversation off air, Thomas, and you were talking about how by Rex, some of these planes shouldn't even fly. And I mentioned something about one of the sky cranes, how, you know, they shouldn't be able to lift all that weight and move stuff around. What do you think?
I just think that, you know, people need to go back to the drawing board, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you say out there, you know. There's always going to be somebody, you know, like, let's say, take Stan Myers, for example, you know. He was riding around in a dune buggy, but everybody kept on saying, well, you can't run a car off of water, you know. But wait a second, he's riding around in a dune buggy. To me, it looks like he can.
The moment we can't fly, if aerodynamically is totally impossible for both of you to fly, the only problem is nobody knows how to speak Bumblebee and tell it.
Yeah, see, now, that'd be a shame the day that Bumblebee learns that he can't really fly, because then he'd be like standing there, what do I do now, you know?
Actually, he'd be a lot more in trouble than just the Bumblebee, considering that would include a lot of other bees and whatnot that would decide that they can't do anything either, just because, you know how people are about following along and being a sheep. And, so much of our fruit and vegetables and whatnot get their cross-pollination off of that. Without that, they can't reproduce.
Yeah.
Well, anything and everything is impossible. All you need to do is remove any and all possibility. Therefore, anything that is impossible becomes possible if you inject one minuscule possibility. Just one. Only one in 10 billion, then it is no longer impossible.
So because nothing is possible, then everything is possible. Because the second nothing is possible, that means all the stuff being impossible is impossible too.
Exactly.
Also, compute out to the last digit pi. Listen to me. Well, I am a liar. Listen to me carefully. I am a liar. I am lying to you. A little bit of Star Trek.
It's impossible for a bunch of muck and goo in a pond to get together and create a perfect balance of nature and human life across the globe, and so that all the disease and everything, that everything has an equal fighting chance. And it's impossible for all this to come across, all the different kinds of flowers and all of that. It's impossible.
Well, the Big Bang Theory says that everything came from a singularity, a single point in time and space, and there was this big bang, and suddenly everything's around, you know, and then some of these single-cell amoebas finally worked their way up to being people walking on land, and they were able to figure out how to make the Model T car. But to me, that kind of looks like it's impossible, but yet here we are today. You got all these individuals out there who, you know, maybe watch Star Trek, and they watch all these different science fiction shows, and, you know, they're like looking for the day when all this stuff is possible. But if it's impossible, then how in the heck are we ever going to get there? You know what I'm saying?
Inject one minuscule possibility, it is no longer possible.
Well,
also, so unimpossible by calculations, they figure it's more possible for you to win the lottery every day for 12 years and get elected President of the United States.
Well, I've spent a lot of time trying to open people's eyes to possibilities, things to, you know, kind of testing the water, so to speak, to see what kind of response you get from people. What is possible, what is not possible. And the biggest thing that I get is there's always somebody out there that it's totally impossible to do anything, you know. It doesn't matter what subject it is, or, you know, whether it be in electricity, you can't do this, or you can't do that, laws of physics say, you know, you only have limitations. But somebody needs to go back and tell those folks from Easter Island who put those big giant statues up there that that's not possible for you to have that, because that material isn't native to that area. So it's not possible that you put those over there, so we're not really looking at those. And so he also needs to go out there and tell the Egyptians that it is not possible for you to make precise measurements on something such as these pyramids and have them last, you know, long time, a couple thousand years or more, and maybe even further back than that, who knows. But it's not possible for you to have these perfectly aligned with certain stars in the sky and stuff like that, so, you know, we're not looking at that. You know, and somebody needs to go tell the Aztecs and the Mayans and all those folks out there that had those nifty pyramids. And then there's other places that look like some of the stones were literally cut with lasers or some sort of really precise diamond blade or something. And they're all fit snug together. But that was thousands of years ago. And so apparently that is not possible either. So we're not looking at that. So,
Well, I'm very glad you brought up Easter Island and those giant stone figures, and also Stonehenge. There's a retired engineer up north in the United States, somewhere around Michigan, way back, I thought. But anyway, the man single-handedly, a retired general, okay, we're talking 65, 70 years old, my age, and by himself, single-handedly replicated Stonehenge completely to scale. Not if I scale down to the exact size, we're talking 20 and concrete blocks poured in his driveway, moved them by himself around to the back of his house in his backyard and replicated Stonehenge single-handedly.
But do you think that if he'd have told anybody ahead of time what he was fixing to do, that they would say it was possible?
Actually, I know what story he's talking about. He did tell them, and they all told him it's crazy that he was going to end up hurting himself and get nothing done. So, you know.
So what if he would have believed everything they said and just not did it?
I think honestly, the people telling him he couldn't do it made it even more important that he do it. So,
exactly.
Well, I'm like this, guys. We've been running around in circles for so many years as far as technology. I mean, when I was a kid, I had big visions of the future, big dreams, you know. I thought by the year 2000 we'd be flying around in cars and it'd be, you know, like the space age kind of stuff. And when you look at little handheld trinkets that we got in our hands, like cell phones, they kind of look like the old communicators off of Star Trek, but, you know, that's not possible either, so... we don't really have those, but the technology that's in the phone alone is just mind-boggling. And if you go back and look at old technology, you know, old phone systems and how they functioned and all that kind of stuff, and the fact that we can, you know, talk on one side that travels down a wire and we talk on the other side and they can understand what it is we're saying, how is that even remotely possible in today's world, man?
Yeah.
I believe
that anybody that honestly believes they cannot do something can't do it.
Well, Henry Ford said that. If you believe you can't, you won't be able to.
Exactly. You cannot do something that you honestly believe you cannot do. It is impossible for you to do it. But you have to inject that one minuscule possibility, and that is think, maybe. Just maybe, you might be able to, if, that big, little, bitty word, if.
Well, it's kind of like this. You know, you got this really amazing piece of machinery sitting out in your yard. Pretty much everybody these days in the States has one, you know, who can afford one, and it's an automobile. You take the starter out of that, just without that one part, you know, it's impossible for you to drive that car because you can't get it started, unless, of course, you know something about a little bit of wiring and you have a standard transmission where you could push it down the hill and get it jump started.
Well, you got an automatic transmission, you still push it down the hill and get it started if you get it fast enough.
Yeah, but see, we can't think outside the box like that because, you know, that goes against what everything the mechanics are going to tell you, man.
I have a Chevrolet Truster that didn't have a starter motor on it. But it was an older tractor, so it had that little safety device or help device on the front, which was nothing more than a little shaft stuck out that you pushed it in, it locked into the, a body balancing wheel on the front of the motor, and you took a crank handle and turned it. Well, I heard somebody get their wrist or arm broke by turning it with a handle. So the heck with it, I just put a big pulley on it, took a round fob, found a notch in, put a rope around that old thing, and pull started it, a six-cylinder motor.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second. We need to get Buddy's volume up.
Yeah, we do.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit more.
All right, hang on. Just go ahead and talk. I'll bring it up.
Anyway, you know, see what you were talking about there, Raymond. You know, that's kind of like thinking outside the box. Instead of trying to run the risk of breaking your arm, you use some critical thinking and figured out a safer and easier way to get that thing started. So, you know, we're going to have to put you off in the corner because you can't be, that's, you know, like heresy if you think outside the box.
Well, you know, to be honest, I mean, I have to tell the truth. I almost did break my arm because in order to pull start a six-cylinder motor, I had to put one foot up against the tractor, jump in the air, throw my body fully horizontal, and push with my legs. And hands on the ground, and it hurt my arm bad. So all I did was take an old bed mattress that I had laying around, put it on the ground. From then on, it was a soft fall. Nothing big.
Well, that's the thing, you know, a lot of the innovations that have came about in history have been people who were thinking outside the box and did things that they said weren't possible, you know. There's a lot of nifty tricks that you could learn, you know, such as maybe something as simple as siphoning gas. You know, you used to be you put a hose down an old gas tank and you put some suction on there and you suck the gas up and usually you end up getting a mouthful of gas and then you pour it into your gas can, but one day my uncle takes an old wet rag and wraps it around the hose and puts it up there real tight against the deal and blows air in there and then the gas pops right out.
That is good. That is really neat.
And I'm like, how do you figure that one out? He said, well, I just got tired of getting gas in my mouth, so I figured out a different way to do it.
I really helped last part when I was a kid because I swear I got so much gas in my mouth I got to where I liked it.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of technology, old technology, that is really impressive. I want you to think about something for a second. Think about the radios that were in the old cars way back in, say, like the early 1900s that had tubes in them, you know. These things were essentially, they were running a household appliance inside a vehicle. So how were they able to step that up back then to get it to run those tubes like that?
I don't know. That lost technology. Forgot.
Well, yeah, but see, if you think about that today, man, in your modern day car, you know, we got like transistors and resistors in our stereos now, but that's pretty doggone impressive. See, then along comes the inverter where you can actually run AC appliances out of your cigarette lighter and stuff like that. Those are things that at some point somebody would have said were impossible. Am I wrong?
You're right. You're absolutely right. In fact, I got so many of those laying around here, I don't know what to do with them. I love inverters. And the beautiful thing is, you have a modified sine wave inverter and a true sine wave inverter. And then you got good time inverters, and oh man, I love those things. I love playing around with them. Shoot my desk.
Well, you know what? I like the videos. I've seen Russ here recently. He did a video where he took an old APC and turned it into a constant voltage power supply for some of his experiments, And, you know, that's what I like to do. I like to go out and find old appliances, find different uses for them, find things that could be salvaged out of there, such as, you know, microwaves and to get magnets and hard drives to get magnets, you know, so you can build generators and stuff. It's really super simple to build a generator once you understand the concept of it. And so if the power grid ever did go down and you had some junk laying around, you could at least get enough power to run your lights, and I believe you could get more power than that. It's just, it's going to be determined on how you use that energy. What do you think?
I think you're exactly 110% correct.
You know, those direct drive washing machines, they call them smart drives or something like that. Have you seen those stator motors in there?
Oh, Lord, yes. And by the way, that's why I wanted to get Sherry Woodruff on here, so I could personally thank him. He sent Scott and myself a couple of those X13 motors. Oh, shazizz, they are so cool. Have you seen one? Do you have one?
No, I don't have one. I was looking around through, I got a few thrift stores that I go to that have old electric motors, but I didn't find anything like that. Maybe if you guys get an opportunity, you can send me a picture of one so I know exactly what I'm looking for.
Send you a picture of one? I'll contact Jerry. I'll pay for the shipping. Sherry will give anybody one to experiment and play with if they get. Let him know what they've done with it and so forth. In other words, he's got the motor. I've got the money to ship it. And he'll give them to anybody that will really try to do something with them and post it on YouTube or another share with the world.
Well, I'll definitely do that.
All right. I'll have him send you one and I'll send him the money to ship it. He sent Scott, too. I'm sent me a whole bunch of them. But, man, they're so cool, shazizz. I mean, it's like the smart motors you're talking about. The coil, I don't know. I don't know how to... Scott, describe the thing to it. Uh-oh, Scott's going good. Anyway, I'll get you one, shazizz.
Well, the smart drive motors, they're about the normal size of a regular motor. We got, I don't know, I'd say it's right at about 20-25 pounds for a full horse, and you know, 3/4, you know, down in fraction wise. But the cool thing is these things don't start off with a bang like most electric motors. If you hit it to the juice, it starts off slow and moves up. That keeps the wires from rubbing and shorting out and wear and tear on the motor and stuff. They're real smooth output. They're 3-phase permanent magnet motors with a controller on the front of them. If you take the controller off the back, which just a few screws does that, you can unplug and you got 3 wires going into the motor. And if you turn the shaft, they put out voltage nicely and a decent amount of amps. One guy turned one with just a regular 18 volt drill and was powering right at 110 volts and had a 100 watt light bulb lit. So.
Cool. Did you have to do any modifications to it right out of the gate?
No, nothing.
That's the kind of stuff
I
like.
Pretty much ready-made generator.
That's the kind of stuff I like, is things that you can get right off the shelf. So that's folks out there are interested in alternative energy and wind turbines and stuff like that, then those X13 motors sound like they'd be the one you want to get a hold of.
Yeah, they got MOSFETs in the controller. And or FETs anyway, they're built right into the aluminum heatsink part there, and they're pretty good size. The thing is, if it goes, the rest of the circuitry is covered with like a shellac or enamel, where you can't repair it, so they just throw them out. When all they really need to do is take the back end off the controller and plug in a new one, but they throw them out. And
wow, what a waste!
Yeah.
Part is that they produce electricity at very, very low RPM. I mean, like Scott was saying, one guy has got a video on YouTube where he's has his son holding a 18 volt battery pack drill, which everybody knows they only turn by 300-350 RPMs max. And at 300, I mean, wide up at 300 RPMs, I mean, he's knocking out 110 volts, lighting a 100 watt light bulb. So, I mean, we're talking like 30 RPMs. These things will put out some juice. They're not a whole lot. But the point is, they'll do all that can produce at very, very low RPMs.
Oh, if they're one horse, I'm sure they'll put out at least a half horse.
Yeah, so the thing is, let's just say you just barely turn at 10, 15 RPMs. Well, it doesn't take much willpower to turn that. And let's just say you're only going to put out 3 or 4 volts. Well, then you take the balance out of a fluorescent light, which is a 6-to-1 upstage transformer, and wire it up in reverse. You see what I'm saying?
I like the way you think, brother.
Remember, you take the 3 volts, you bump it 6 times. Well, now all of a sudden you've got 18 volts. Of course, you dropped your average, but you still got voltage where you can charge a battery. It might take a while, but it's there. That's what people need to get in their head. It's there. You just have to multiply it, that's all. Big deal.
Well, and I prefer high voltage to begin with because, you know, you can always turn it back into usable current by pumping it into capacitor banks. So, you know, I'm not stressing over that whole deal. That's why I want this high voltage turbine built that will put out as high a voltage as possible. I mean, if it shocks the living crud out of me, then I'm going to be satisfied.
That's why I've got the box in my shop right now. I've got two of the older transformers or ballasts out of fluorescent lights. They are actually, each ballast is the old style, is actually two transformers in one case. You've got two positive, two negative AC lines that go into it. So
yeah, the three phase, they're all equal, it's AC.
So it's transformers, 6-to-1 step-up transformers in each case. Then the newer models, you only have two lines going in and four lines coming out. So anyway, I've got the two old style, and I've got 5 or 6 of the new style, and they're in a box, and I'm just trying to decide whether to send you 2 dozen or 3 dozen of those hard drive magnets. I'm putting them all in the box, and they're going to be shipped out to you Monday or Tuesday morning.
Cool.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
I did some calculations before I got these motors. I didn't get time yesterday. I had something else to do. She says, because I'm sure of that. But anyway, I figured at 140 RPMs equals 12 volts by the tags. And I figured a 6-foot prop equals 120 RPMs at 5 to 7 miles an hour. With the torque and 10 mile an hour wind at full lift, it will absorb 2.924 horsepower or 255 watts available. Whether it's efficient enough to do that remains in the testing. But if you got 20 miles an hour, the power factor is 8 times. And that's twice what the motor figured out to be able to take. I figure 15 miles per hour wind would be close to max, then you could have it purl. And the RPMs would be controlled by the 11.666 volts per RPM, so that would probably keep the thing from overspeed nicely. And it shall be enough to put out decent, it should be kicking out about 140 RPMs, even against the voltage, dropping some amps, because the open voltage would be 38.57 volts at 15. So, that ought to do it.
Well, that sounds pretty impressive for a motor that they were just going to throw in the trash, you know? And at this
Gary wanted me to do something special with it. And what I had in mind is I'm getting sick and tired of the gas bill of running back and forth to the store and down to the shop, you know? A little far to walk, but, you know, you fire an engine up.
You're just getting sick and tired of that?
Oh, I've been sick and tired of that. So I'm building a 3-wheeled recumbent bicycle with 2 wheels in the front. You can kind of lay down on it. And it's got 1 wheel in the back, if anybody's seen them. They're called reverse trikes, recumbent trikes.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm going to put the front chain to a small, with the front sprocket on the big sprocket and take it down to the small sprocket on the motor to give it some gear up. And I'm not sure if I can run the wires directly back to the 3/4 horse in the back, but that should be one of the main problems you normally have is taking the chain all the way from the front, going down through little pulleys and guiding it all the way back without messing up the chain derailleur in the back. or getting it anywhere where it tries to snag the clothes. So I figured put one on the back. And if I wire the three phases together, I should have speed control. It should feel like I basically got a real chain. So we'll see how that works and how that happens. If not, then I'm going to go to batteries and take it from there.
Well, I'm interested to see how that all works out, man. But like I said, in the world that we live in, nothing's possible.
Man. Laying down on the bike is a difference between holding a sheet of plywood to the wind, flat to the wind, you know, or laying it down. It just doesn't move. Then you get no force on it. So laying down gives you a lot more zip through the air.
Well, I put a link in the chat room. Where did I put it? It's in there somewhere. It's a link to a Wikipedia article about Nikola Tesla, and if you look at some of the things that he was doing back in the day, man, he had a wireless boat, man. He had an RC boat back in the 1800s. Is that not impressive?
Yeah, that thing was cool. Three antennas on it.
In the 1800s, he was remote controlling a boat. But how's that even possible when remote-controlled cars didn't come around till what? Around the 70s, we got some pretty decent ones?
Yeah,
the 1970s, yep.
Yeah. And so, with that said, how's that even possible, man? You know what? That dude was a wizard or a witch. We need to go back and get him, man.
We'll get over there, get on your Tesla coils and tune them things right, and we'll take a trip to the past.
Yeah, see, but see, you know,
we'll take him into the future where he's appreciated.
You remember what they said about his car that he was driving, that you know, his electric car that he was driving, and the whole story about that thought he was into witchcraft because you know, that wasn't possible how he was running that.
Yeah, the people were telling them and saying it was the devil's box and all that stuff, and he got so sick and tired of it, and a bunch of old biddies on the sidewalk and everything started raising their voices, so he went to the car, he grabbed the box, he slammed it down on the ground and stomped it, tubes and all. He said, people aren't ready for this yet.
Well, that's my point exactly, man. You know, when you look out there and you see that there's people still thumbing down every single idea under the sun, is this world really ready for the space age? Are we really ready to go to other planets and check out the galaxies and stuff like that? Heck, people still think things aren't possible. You know, you can't get past the Van Allen radiation belt, so, you know, maybe back in 1969 they knew something we didn't know or whatever. Regardless of whether you want to look at it as either we did or we didn't, doesn't hold any consequence to me. What does hold is that, you know, here we are in the year 2014 and we're still driving around in gas guzzlers and we're still paying money out when we know there was guys that were driving around in cars that ran off of water and cars that ran off electricity and stuff like that, and we still have to tolerate the green people always complaining about how the planet's heating up and we're all going to die and the polar bear is going to drown and all this kind of stuff. You know, if what I'm saying ain't possible, then it ain't possible to save the world, is it?
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I mean, come on, man. I don't call it mad science for nothing. I'm trying to get people to start thinking outside the box for a second. You know, I put some videos out there that get people saying, is that possible? You know? And if they're thinking, is it possible, they might actually figure out how it's done. They might actually figure out a way to do it. And we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. It just sickens me that, you know, here we are in a world where they're still fighting over resources. They're still fighting over oil. They're trying to tax air, for Pete's sake. In some countries, they actually do tax air. You know, they tax the sunlight. And, you know, here we are. You're talking about we got this so-called energy crisis, yet everyone's taxing everything under the sun, including the sun, And they're telling you that you can't do certain things because it's against the law, it's regulated out, you can't save rainwater. The earth is three-quarters covered in water, for Pete's sake. Why can't I collect rainwater? It's not like we're going to run out anytime soon. And for those who say, well, you can't drink seawater, well, go tell the guys and gals over there in Dubai who's been drinking seawater and building their own land since God knows how long. You know, that's some ingenuity. They pump water way up into these giant skyscrapers. As the water's falling, it's not only cooling the building, but it's flushing the toilets as well.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
That's what gets me about people think, like you said, people thinking or saying that's impossible, this is impossible. What about, like you said, making an automobile run on water? Well, it would do. Okay, it can be done. You just take a little bit of electricity and you split the water into hydrogen and oxygen and then you burn it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why don't we make some electricity with that hydrogen oxygen without burning it and then burn it in our automobiles?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, but it's not possible, man. I mean, if it was possible, come on, Raymond, seriously. You got to wake up here. If it was possible, wouldn't they already be doing it?
Evidently not. Because I'm getting ready to do it.
That's what I'm saying. If you see it on TV, it must be real. You know, but if you don't see it on TV, it can't be real, you know.
I'm going to show people that you can take electricity, split water into hydrogen and oxygen, and use that hydrogen and oxygen to make electricity without burning the hydrogen and oxygen. Now, you're not going to make as much electricity as you use to make the hydrogen and oxygen, but you're going to get some of your electricity back.
That's right, you're supplementing. And that's what I've been saying all along. And I make people mad because I keep saying stuff like, you're not doing anything. You're not creating. Even the laws of physics under the conservation of energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So you're not creating it. You're not doing nothing. You're just moving it from point A to point B. And you're moving it in different ways. Like the difference between straight out high voltage and some serious current watts and amps going on where you got a lot of flow going on. You know, there's different frequencies for every single current out there, you know, depending on like a 60 hertz motor or a 50 hertz motor or whatever. You're not doing nothing spectacular but moving energy that already exists from point A to point B. That's all you're doing.
She says, I don't want to slice you in the slightest bit because I have great respect for you, but and what you said is true to a point, and that is you cannot create nor can you destroy energy, and that is an incorrect statement because it is not complete.
But that's what they tell you in school.
You destroy energy or matter without creating or destroying the other. That's complete.
Run that by me again because my brain was like shut down right in the half of it.
The law of conservation of energy, the first law, you cannot create nor destroy energy or matter without creating or destroying the other. In other words, you cannot get anything from nothing. You have to start with something. So consequently, if you have matter and you want energy, then you destroy the matter by turning it into energy. If you have energy and you want matter, then you have to destroy the energy by turning it into matter.
All right, well, who destroyed the matter and created the energy that created the universe? That's a good question.
There you go.
Who lit the match?
I love it.
Better yet, who killed the radio star?
Yeah. Oh,
wait, wrong conversation.
Look at every magician's act. Every magician. He takes a top hat, he cracks an egg, he drops it in there, he takes his magic wand, waves it around, reaches in the hat, stirs it around, and a dove flies out. But yeah, he didn't take an empty hat and create a dove. He put a raw egg in it first. Every magician never creates anything from nothing. Well, you have something to start.
I would say that inside that hat is a nifty little incubator that set on high like your microwave, and it fired that doggone egg up and it hatched into the bird. That bird like grew really rapidly and flew out of the hat.
The point I'm trying to...
I'm with you, brother.
Fantastic.
I'm just being a wise guy, because everybody out there, it's not possible. You know, you watch a magician do it, there's got to be some sort of trick. Nothing's possible.
Exactly. The trick is getting out there and doing it.
That's exactly right, Raymond. And until people actually get out there and do it, they're not going to make discoveries or rediscoveries. I like rediscoveries better than discoveries, because it's like a mystery to find out what all was in all the appliances back in the old days, why they seem to work better than what you got today and last longer.
Right.
You know, did they know something back in that day? Or maybe they didn't know about marketing and didn't make your stuff to fall apart after a certain period of time.
That is what is going on. That's exactly it. You hit full on the head, and I mean square on the head. They learned over the years that you make money by building it where it will not last, so that people have to buy more.
I like what Stephen Gibbon typed in the chat room in there. He said, people who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it.
Short story, I don't even know if you guys want to hear it or not, but I had a guy working for me years ago, and I don't care what it was. In fact, he wouldn't even know what it was. I'd say, well, we signed a contract today to build this blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, that's impossible. We can't do that. And I got so tired of hearing that stuff. One day he said, I brought up a job even before he found out. That's impossible. We can't possibly do that. There's no way. And I told him, I said, look, man, I said, as far as I'm concerned, you got one of three choices. You can go, that job is going to be done. Boomer drywall will be the ones to do it. It will be done to completion. You have one of three choices. You can either go home, watch television, and wait for us to get it done. You can go home and find another job, another company to work for, or you can shut your daggone trap and jump in here with us and help get it done, because it will be done, and Boomer Drywall will be the contractor to do it. Now shut up and let's do the work.
Well, see, and that's the attitude that more people need to take, because there's so many people out there that are running around. You know, I get myself in trouble because I talk about the alternative energy community, and I'm trying to get these folks to step back and look at the big picture. There's a lot of brilliant individuals out there doing awesome work, man. I mean, I couldn't say enough about some of these guys out there. They're inventive, they're creative, but they haven't figured out the one little thing that could make the big difference, and that is your talent along with my talent combined with his talent and his talent or her talent out there could literally get this done in half the time. Jump in and do that drywall job. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Man.
They don't
bring me down. Negative people do not bring me down. They just drive me up the wall, wasting my time listening to their garbage.
Yep. And, you know, if people's going to rely on waiting for the mainstream market to bring out things in there, you know, they're going to be waiting for a long time, because you know as well as I do that any product out there, if they put like the iPhone out, you know, there's a better iPhone right there on the shelf waiting to come out. But they're not going to sell the better iPhone until they make as much money as they can off the one that they just put out. So the same thing applies with fuel. If you got trillions of gallons worth of oil and somebody else is out there saying something like, well, you can run your car on water, why buy oil? They're not going to want that technology out there until they sell as much of that oil as they can possibly sell, until they're down to the bottom of the barrel. They would be the first ones. When they're down to the last barrel of oil, they'll be the first ones to rush up there and say, oh, guess what? We discovered you can run your car on water. So, never mind, we're out of oil anyway. You know?
The thing is, the people that mess with oil and make their money with oil, they don't seem to understand that if we do come up with a different type of fuel that does not use oil, we're still going to need oil.
Yeah.
Hey, Think about this. There are thousands of different kinds of medicines that are made from crude oil.
Yeah, there are tires out of it.
Plastics. I mean, give me a break. You're not going to do away with the uses for oil. All you're going to do is conserve it for future.
Yeah.
I mean, don't need it to operate our vehicles.
It's all about greed and power. That's all it is. There's a really good documentary out there. If you go back and watch about like J.P. Morgan and all the guys back in that time that were fighting over electricity, fighting over railroads and stuff like that, you know. These guys had monopolies on every single industry out there, and they had wars amongst each other to see who could run the other guy out of business and who could come on top being the most powerful company. It's still going on to this day.
The thing is, somewhere down the line, somebody with some real money and a little knowledge and some guts is going to invest in guys like you and me and other people out there, and they're going to find this fuel, and they're going to put their money behind it because they're going to know that it will be the future. It will definitely be the future, and there's where the money's going to be made.
Well, here's
today and work for the future.
Yeah, here's a good key for the average Joe out there. And when you're sitting there and you're arguing with the guy out there doing out-of-the-box research, and you're saying, according to the books, this isn't possible, that isn't possible, all you're doing is helping the corporations, the same one you profess to hate, that are polluting the planet. You should back that guy. If he fails, he fails. But you are going to learn something in that process that may very well potentially be the answer to the question you've been seeking all along. So while you're out there trying to discourage people from doing research, you know, granted, there's knuckleheads out there frauding people, and you got to keep your eye out for them. But even those fraudsters accidentally put out something that they didn't intend on. You know, there's alternative energy devices that had some sort of anomaly that went with them that whenever it didn't work exactly the way they said it did, that anomaly still existed enough for them to take the time to try to make this thing work. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I completely see it.
And so you take that piece of the puzzle and you expand on that piece of the puzzle, like the pop-pop boat that I keep bringing up, is that, you know, it's a little toy. It's a steam diaphragm toy, you know, and you can expand on that. You can bring it up to where, heck, we have a space-age version designed in our head. Now it's just a matter of somebody building it, you know. That's as simple as that, you know.
Yep.
And if you look at the things like the Slayer Exciter that the people are working on, they're doing cool stuff with it. And some guys are expanding on it, and they're getting more distance out of it. They're getting really cool results. You know, it's a super fast acting switch, and it goes all the way back to Tesla and his knife switch. The whole invention of the Tesla coil was, you know, why is it I keep getting this sudden surge of energy every time I flip this knife switch fast? You know. And he expanded on it. And then people, years later, after studying his research, they expanded on it. Now you got these cool toys out there that shoot these lightning bolts out the top load of it. And, you know, it's cool. But why don't you go further than just using it as a toy? Why don't you go to the extreme, you know?
That's exactly right. The pop-pop boat, the drinking bird, these are all toys that have been around for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Way over 100 years. And, I mean, in fact, the first drinking bird was made back in the early 1800s. But it was in the early 1900s that they made it into a toy because they learned how to make it cheap. But nobody has really thought about making a big one and actually using it not as I don't know, not as a toy. Using it as a machine.
Yeah.
There's a video on YouTube where a guy made one that's two or three of them in the video, and they're like 6 or 8 foot tall. But he's using them as a toy, just a demonstration. Why not put a generator on the dago thing? Okay, so it's going to make a little teeny tiny bit of electricity, but it's free.
Yeah, there you go.
Duh. Make 100 of them.
And the science that went into them toys back in the day, if they would have took all these toys, put them in front of the kids in the schoolroom and explained to them how they work, there would be some brilliant kids coming up out of school, because first off, kids like toys. And if you show the kid how this toy actually works, that kid's going to say, wait a second, what if I did this? Could I make it go faster? You know.
Yes. I love it when it comes to me and says, well, can we do this? Well, let's see. Let's try it. Figure it out. I love that.
We should be encouraging thinking outside the box, because thinking outside the box is innovation. Otherwise, we'd still be standing on the beach being like that one guy who said, well, if the earth is really flat, then why do I see the boat going over the horizon, and then a couple weeks later it comes back up over the hill? But that's heresy, man.
Yeah. Now, I got something to interject here. I wrote something.
Go ahead.
They tax our air. They tax our smoke. They tax our water. What a joke. They tax our food and tax our tea, tax our cars and necessities. Tax our fuel, tax our sun, tax our wind, and tax our fun. Tax our dogs and tax the dead. And what taxes my nerves is that all we get back is less and less freedom and dumb us down. Say our freedom energy inventions don't work. They put them down like they're stupid jerks. Tested and proven doesn't matter as they sit in power and get fatter and fatter. Muddy.
Cool. I like it. You know, there's some really brilliant guys out there that they've been to school, they've been to college, they got really big degrees and all that kind of stuff. But to me, those guys right there are the biggest hindrance to the whole process of discovering free energy or alternative energy, because they're stuck there in a rut. They're like, the book says, I don't care what the book says. What I care is what that guy over there who is looking at it saying, well, but what if I did this? You know? Maybe it won't work.
Books and book learning is one of the biggest holdbacks of young people. They read the book and they believe it as the gospel. I mean, that's it.
I really hate to say it, but you can't blame a book for how somebody uses it. A book is a tool. That's like saying, well, the problem here is that, you know, the screwdriver, when actually the person who, you know, is using the screwdriver is basically jabbing another person in the eye. It's like, no, it's a person who's jabbing the other person in the eye that's the problem.
Agreed.
You take that screwdriver and give it to somebody else, they can put a screw into something and, you know, hold something together so they can get across a river or, you know, down the road or whatever. We just need to stop teaching these kids how to, you know, be little drones and do your little cog in the machine job, and start teaching them how to critically think. They need to use their brain for what it was originally intended for. It's the most powerful computer on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And look how cheap it was to make one. Yeah. You know?
Well, basically what you just said is they need to be taught to think outside the box. That's it.
Look. Read the book, but then use your own translation. Thomas is right.
Yeah.
The book is not bad. It's just the fact that the kids read the book and think that is all there is. No.
No. Actually, the kids think about all the other stuff, and they stop doing that. Stop asking why. Get back into what we tell you to do. Do what we say, not what we do. You know, it's all this crap that's basically being crammed down their throat. When you enter a child into school, you are taking one of the most curious minds that wants to know how everything is. They have almost no fear, and you're imbuing them with a tremendous amount of fear, stress, and destructive force on them, and pounding out all of the creativity and just making someone who just wants to close their eyes and get the day done.
Well, exactly.
Is what the problem is.
I remember back in the day whenever I was a little geek in school, and I loved science and I loved all kinds of stuff about knowledge, and I always asked questions outside the box, and there were a lot of times that I'd draw up little drawings of things that I was going to work on, and my science teacher said, well, you know, that's not possible, so I threw it in the trash. But until I got to the point where I just said, you know what, maybe it's not possible, but I'm going to try it and find out, you know. In that process of me trying it and finding out, I learned some things. Maybe that wasn't possible, but I found an anomaly that was possible.
You know, I answered it did exactly what like yours did, Shazam, that asked the question, oh, you can't do that. And I learned later, he deliberately, he knew it could. But he challenged, he was telling me I couldn't with a challenge. And I was one of those kids that you challenge me and I'm going to get her done. That's all there is to it. No, I know it can be done. If you tell me it can't be done, I'm going to show you, turkey. And for a while I learned that he knew I could do it. But he challenged me by telling me I couldn't.
What we're all talking about here, people need to realize that a hackerspace is what that's about. It's not about getting into people's computers or, you know, taking control of somebody else's system or hacking the IRS or all these things that they've been taught about hacking, quote-unquote, in movies and whatnot, is not what the hackerspace is about. So if anybody who is listening right now and has that in their mind, get it out of your mind. What hacking is basically taking something and making it do something else that it was not originally intended to do when it was built.
Yes,
that's all it is.
Some of the best software in the world out there was designed by people who were hackers.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, there are people who basically hack MP3 players so that the little digital screen that's on it becomes a little video game where you can play Doom on it or something, just to see if they can get that whole game into such a small device, you know.
Well,
that's hacking.
That is the whole key of today's Mad Science Show, was to see how far you can take the littlest idea. You know, people out there want to run their house off the power grid. People need to be able to get electricity without having to pay an astronomical bill. I'm saying to you out there, use your critical thinking skills and find ways to bring your bill down, like unplugging things that you're not using, you know, or find little ways to supplement electricity, kind of like what Raymond was talking about with hydrogen. You know, maybe you're not going to produce enough hydrogen to actually produce more hydrogen, but you can produce enough electricity out of that hydrogen to supplement the electricity that you're putting into it. You know, on your car, you have an alternator, and it has a battery in there. When the car is up and running, the alternator is producing energy that is recharging that battery. So there's something there.
The same thing with my cold steam turbine.
Yep.
The heat off of the backside of your air conditioner, the air conditioner is taking the heat out of the air in the house and putting it outside. Well, you're throwing it out away. Why? Let's take that heat and use it to make electricity and feed it back into the air conditioner. You're not going to make enough electricity to run the air conditioner, but you are going to make enough to supplement the electrical use and thereby decreasing the actual amount of electricity or your electric bill.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, coming off of the backside of an air conditioner is unbelievable, but it will. It's not hot enough to actually boil water, but at sea level or at atmospheric pressure. However, with the cold steam turbine, you can boil water at 60 degrees. And the agitation of that boiling water will move a magnet, and the movement of a magnetic field over a copper coil will produce electricity.
Well, there you go. See, and here's the key, man. You know, look, if you believe in global warming and you believe you need to reduce your carbon footprint, then put your brain where your mouth is and start doing it. You know, there's so many different technologies out there. Raymond just went through a few. That doesn't even scratch the surface of ways to supplement your energy usage out there. If you're so worried about the planet, then do it and support guys and gals that think outside the box and say, is this possible? And say, look, I don't know if it's possible, but you keep on trying. Whatever you learn, I sure would like to know if you don't mind sharing it with me. You see where I'm coming from, guys?
I mean, I don't know, man. You said it. We just barely put a little teeny tiny scratch in all the possibilities. I mean, the putt-putt boat, the drinking bird, the cold steam turbine, making HHO from water.
Bancraft generator, the Wimshurst generator.
Yes.
Statica.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many, many ways to do things out there that we haven't even begun to think about.
Well, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about? We take a quick coffee break and play a couple tunes, and then come back with a fresh mind and attack it again.
I'm glad you said that, because I haven't had my coffee yet.
All right, well, we're going to take a coffee break, folks. You're listening to Mad Science with Raymond and Thomas and Muddy, and I thought there was somebody else in there, but I guess they didn't make it. Anyway, peace and love. Stay tuned.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and home. country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shazia's Mad Science. In the world that we live in today, absolutely nothing is possible. See, I believe in possibilities, and I believe you're only limited by your imagination as to what you can accomplish in this world. But as long as you run around this world with an attitude such as, I can't do this, then you're obviously not going to be able to do that. So with that said, taking in consideration that there's lots of brilliant minds out there with lots of different ingenious ideas that could be expanded on, such as the pop-pop boat and the bird that, what you called that earlier there, Raymond?
The drinking bird?
Yeah, the drinking bird. There you go. Anyway, you take these little toys back from way back when and you can expand on them. There's other technologies that have existed way back and since, at the very least, the 1800s and probably even way further back than that. I can't remember, but I got a picture of it. The first steam engine was a sphere with a couple legs on each end of that thing, and when it was heated up, it would boil the water and spin around in circles, you know. It was expanded on eventually, you know. We had the steam engine, we had big old Navy destroyers that ran off of boilers. There were like four boilers in a then a destroyer and two engine rooms, and they got from point A to point B burning fuel oil in those old ships like that. You know, there's all kinds of fuel sources out there, all kinds of energy sources. It's just a matter of choosing what's going to be best for you. If you live near an ocean, you've got free energy. If you live next to a running stream that runs constant, you got free energy. If you live on a windy hill, you got free energy. If you live out in the middle of the desert, you got free energy. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to use it. You know, there may come a time when the power grid actually goes down and you'll be at the mercy of whoever has the knowledge of how to use it, that you're going to be able to want to have to be friends with that individual so they'll show you how to get some lights going on in your house. Otherwise, do you know how to make a candle? You know, can you make an old burning lamp?
Hot air is free energy.
There you go.
I think we're using our politicians the wrong way, man.
We should put generator heads on their mouth. But either way, guys, you know, it just drives me insane. That's why I call it mad science. That's why I get so riled up, because on one hand, you got guys out there telling you that the world's coming to an end because of so-called global warming, and that they got to tax your breathing, and they got to tax the sun, and they got to tax the water, and they got to tax everything. You know, tax the politicians, man. They're making the best money. Anyway, you know, I'm just saying, it makes me mad because I know what is possible, and I see this world with a big boat anchor around its neck. And then when you have your average Joe, it's surprising when you see somebody such as the average Joe cutting down somebody else's critical thinking, cutting down somebody's thought outside the box. Is it possible? Oh, maybe according to their book, maybe it's not possible. But they also told the Wright brothers that you couldn't fly. If man was meant to fly, he would have had wings, and so on and so forth.
And sure did.
Yeah.
God did want man to fly, and he did give him wings. We call it a Boeing 747, daggone it.
Yeah. But that shouldn't get off the ground either. You know, there's fat people that ride those planes.
Yeah.
Lord, that wasn't very nice.
Years ago, actually served time in prison because they did not agree that the world was flat, and if you walked in a straight line, you would eventually fall off the edge.
Well, if I would have been back in that day, Raymond, I would have been sitting in jail right alongside you and Muddy and Thomas and, you know, a few other people, because we would have said, look, the earth ain't flat, man. It can't be flat. Watch it go over the hill.
Yeah,
there.
I don't know. You might have been in that prison system alone. I'd just go ahead and build the stuff and do it and not tell anybody that I didn't agree.
Yeah, but somebody
let their eyes be the disagreeing factor instead of me, you know?
You know, there's some nosy neighbor that if you was back in them days, you'd be in your lab and you'd be making something. Some nosy neighbor would come around and say that you were into witchcraft, and they'd be dipping you in hot oil or burning you at the stake or something like that. Yeah.
The first time I ever heard that...
Good luck catching me. I run too fast.
The first thing that came to my mind, the very first thing, and I was just a kid. I wasn't even 8 years old. And the first thing coming out of it, well, hell, if the earth's flat, and if you walk to the edge, you'd fall off, why isn't the ocean dry?
Yeah!
That's
a good point! What's holding the water in?
Can you possibly get to think that the world would be flat?
Yeah, put some water on the table and see if you can get it to stay there.
Now I want to make a toy that's basically like a glass container with a flat platform where the water keeps running off, and there's a boiling system so that as soon as it runs off the edge of that thing, it boils and goes back up to the top and rains back down on it.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go, thinking outside the box again.
But it put the whole platform up on top of, four elephants that are standing on top of a big turtle.
Well, now we got Thomas Gold standing in the corner with Raymond.
Send me back to Thomas Edison's time, and give me a clap-on, clap-off, and a few neodymium iron boron magnets, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, but you know what? They're going to say you're a witch, doggone it.
No joke, they would.
And I'll just go, and you go out my exit door.
15 hours, you'd be toast.
Oh, come on, man. See, what it did, nothing's changed. All the way back to the day whenever people were trying to invent new stuff, people still always want to say nothing's possible. We're in the year 2014, people. You have a cell phone that has so much memory in that cell phone, and look how many gigahertz you can put on a doggone USB stick. All right? Now, that's not possible. How are you storing that much information on a little bitty stick? Seriously. It's magic.
I had a thumb drive 5 years ago that would hold 64 gigabytes. A thumb drive. I mean, you know, you put that in your shirt pocket along with a notebook and 4 or 5 pencils and maybe, you know, I don't know, man. It's just, you're right. They just keep getting things smaller and smaller, more and more powerful. But yet, oh, like you said, oh, that's impossible. All right.
Well, I want the average Joe out there, just the average thumbs downer, to come along and explain to me in graphic detail how they cram so much information on one little thumb drive. And then tell me nothing else in this world's possible. I mean, Buddy showed me how to put an entire operating system and then some extra files on a thumb drive. And so, you know, hey, I'm doing it. All right, well, now somebody out there tell me it's not possible. So, with all the ingenuity and all the stuff that you've got access to right now, and you have to ask the question when your governments of the world and even some of the little sheep people that run around that follow the governments for their little bit of bread or whatever, then, you know, and they're telling you that the world's doomed and we're all going to die and the polar bears are going to drown and so we got to tax everything under the sun, including the sun. But then
because taxes actually change, you know, physical reality.
Well, then along comes right? The guy that says, hey, let's fix this problem instead of complaining about it. Number one, I'm running out of money to pay you taxes.
Let's fix this thing instead of charging people money for continuing doing things the way they're doing things and ruining things.
Yeah.
You mean we can't make money anymore? Throw that man in jail.
There you go. That's the whole key.
You mean I can't have my cake and eat yours too? Throw that man in jail.
There ain't no such thing as conspiracy. You can always trust your government, and all you people out there, just shut up and do what you're told. Stay in line. Everything's fine. Pay your taxes.
Exactly. And solving, we can solve the whole homeless family and person problem by giving the banks more money.
Yep. Yeah. And we can solve disease and death and destruction by going out bombing foreign nations. So, yeah. Hey, that's it. We got the money to do that, but we ain't got the money to back somebody who says that you can run your car on water, because, doggone it, if you can run your car on water, that's going to destroy our economy.
When you said you can solve all those problems by bombing nations, the first thing that came to my mind, I think it was Megadeth, which was you kill a man, you're a murderer. You kill a whole string of people, you're a serial killer. You kill them all, you're a god.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You'll solve all those problems if you bomb enough people, because eventually there won't be a problem because all the people will be dead.
Yep.
There will finally be peace on earth.
Well, didn't Metallica have a song called King Nothing? And so if you destroy it all...
I'm not sure, but I know they had a song called Kill 'Em All.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you kill all the people and destroy all the land, then what are you king of? You're king of nothing. You're just standing in the dump, man.
Exact same scenario came up before World War II when the scientists went to Hitler and they told him about the atomic bomb and what it would do and the power of it. And he said, I don't want it. He said, I want to rule the world, not ashes.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'd end up with.
Well, he was also kind of being sour grapes because he already ran Einstein out of the country by getting onto all the Jews so they could steal all their money.
Right.
That's pretty much how every war works, is they demonize or they dehumanize another culture or people and say, well, they're savages, they're animals.
Speaking of...
They're evil and they're out to get us, so we got to kick their butt.
Speaking of Albert Einstein, Anon5212 in the chat room said, if an idea does not sound absurd, there is no hope for it. Albert Einstein. That's all I'm saying.
I have to
wonder
if that's actually one of his quotes, because he gets misquoted a lot.
But yeah, he does.
Well, I don't know whether he said it or not, but whoever said it, it was a good idea. And I don't care whether Einstein said it or Elvis said it. All I can tell you is this.
Elvis.
Yeah. This world that we live in today has so much more potential, and we are not even scratching the surface of the full potential of humanity and all of the resources that we have available to us. There is no energy crisis. There has never been an energy crisis. It's all been a scam to get you to pay money and to shut up and do what you're told, because you got to save the polar bears. They're going to play on your hearts like a banjo string. They're going to play on your wallet for every doggone piece of dust that they can get out of it. And it's going to continue as long as you allow them to do so. If you ever want to be prepared for any natural or man-made disaster, the first step is going to be knowledge, and you're going to have to learn what it is that we're talking about. If you want electricity in your house, you need to be able to know how to build a generator if it all breaks down. There's tons of junk around there. X13 motors that they throw in the trash, for Pete's sake. And they're awesome. Why throw them away? You know, but here's the thing, folks. They're going to keep on making stuff to break down. They're going to keep on making you self-reliant on the system, as long as you are relying on the system for when you walk to the light switch and flip the light switch, you're under the impression that the lights are going to come on. My question to you is, what are you going to do the day that they don't? Plain and simple.
Well, I would say they're already working on technology, too, where it doesn't break down. Instead, it just has a chip or something in it that they have to flip a switch to reset it, so you have to keep paying for them to flip that switch.
Yeah.
And they don't have to keep manufacturing it.
Like antivirus software. It's good for a year, and then you got to pay for it again.
Or these, the inkjet cartridges, where basically it has something in it so you can't refill it. That way you have to recycle it. Yep. So they can just pump more juice into it and then send it back out after resetting the chip. And, you know, there you go.
I put a little video out, and, they were talking about whether or not people could or couldn't hear you on your appliances. And I put a little video out, and you can barely hear it in there, but it actually does work. You can actually hear your iPod through the transformer that it's being charged with. And so, is it possible? I think anything's possible. You know, whether or not they're doing it, I don't know. All I can tell you is that when you fluctuate the field with that iPod, you can hear it in the transformer. So, you know, my belief is that, yeah, it is possible for them to be able to spy in on you if they want.
So you just need a good enough filter and a good enough booster for the signal that's coming through, and something that can actually convert that signal into what you need it to be.
Yeah, but, 60 hertz notch filter and ground out the notch.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves everything else.
These guys know things are possible. I mean, come on, you think the NSA has an old cassette player tape recorder? Heck no, they got some little USB style in your pocket, in spying on you kind of gizmos. Didn't anybody out there ever watch doggone 007?
Well, the thing is, though, I think people need to realize, though, that it's not about whether they can or can't do something technologically. It's, do they have the manpower? Because there's very few of them. There's so many of us, and I believe it was Jimi Hendrix that said, yeah, they might have the guns, but we got the numbers.
Yeah, but see, I'm thinking it's not necessarily they're going to spy on every single individual on every single day, but if you ever get out of line and they need to get some information off of you, then they have access to it. It's money in the bank is what
it is. And that's the thing, though. While you're getting out of line, there's plenty of other people getting out of line, and there just ain't enough for them to go around and corral everybody back into line.
Yeah, but the squeakiest...
And the one that gets away... The one that gets away is the one that will bring about the revolution.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to even be a revolution of guns and bombs. It can be a revolution of the mind.
Yeah,
that's the most dangerous kind to those in power.
The squeakiest wheel gets the grease. So if you're the loudest one in the bunch, they're going to get you first.
Well, that's just it, though. The loudest one isn't necessarily the game changer, though.
No, but...
So you might very well be the loudest one and get the most attention, but you may not be actually the one that has the concept that basically is the game changer that they don't want.
And I
it could
agree
be the guy
you.
That's not quite as loud.
And I agree with you. And in your statement, you showed that the people have the true power. But as long as people believe that if I get out of line and I'm the squeakiest wheel, I'm going to get greased, well, then they're not going to get out of line. That's the whole key.
There are plenty of people that are just fine with being nailed as long as they know that somebody's going to get through. They're going to be willing to be that linebacker in the front to block and take the hit.
Yep.
Even if they aren't that big. I mean, we're talking like little skinny 98-pound weaklings willing to band together to stand there and be in the way of that big, you know, behemoth that's coming right at them.
The whole thing is, it's a game of chess, man. The elite play a game of chess with each other. They play a game of chess with the people, and we're the pawns. They move us where they want us, and they do what they want to do because they have the money. It's the whole golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules thing.
Here you go.
Right, it's not the golden rule anymore, it's the gun rule. He who has the gun makes the rules.
Well, you know, until they get all the guns out of the American people's hands, then the golden rule is still the top dog. But in the meantime, you know, once they get all the guns and, you know, like they...
Well, hold on. Who has the gold, though?
They
do you think
gold
there's gold?
The guns.
Gold? No, hold on. Do you think there's gold in Fort Knox?
No.
Do you think the Federal Reserve has gold? Because if I recall, Germany stored some gold at within the Federal Reserve, and when they said, hey, we want our gold back, they went, no.
I think...
Okay, let's come in, you know, at least tally it, because we need to know how much we have. Give us 8 days, and you can look in one of the 8 vaults.
I think that Fort
and
Knox...
after a month, then you can come and look in the second one. You know, they don't have it. They sold it.
I think that Fort Knox... what is contained in Fort Knox is somebody's fuzzy bunny slippers.
There you go.
There's more likely an alien brain in there than there is any gold. The gold's all in China. They've been buying it like crazy to back their yuan.
Yeah, but the funny... fuzzy bunny slippers sound more possible than the alien, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, none of that matters, though. What we're talking about is, you know, how the world's being affected by these, you know, changes and whatnot. China has a completely closed monetary system. And therefore, not even their own people trust it. That's why Bitcoin and Dogecoin and all these other cryptocurrencies are being bought like crazy over there. And that's why the bank system is buying the gold like crazy, because if they have enough gold... they know they can say, well, then you need to trust our yuan if you want to get the gold.
I think we're getting off subject.
Well, either way, the whole thing is this, man. You know, in this world that we live in today, nothing is possible if you listen to people who don't believe anything is possible. And so with that said, all the innovations that would bring us into the future of humanity, to where we all had everything we needed and there wasn't no starvation in the world, there wasn't no ignorance going on, we're not going to make it. We weren't that far off base
because you know, it takes more energy to get energy out of gold than you'll actually get out of the gold. So there's no way you can run an economy or you can control people or you can, you know, control the world with gold, right? Can't be done.
Well, you can't run your car under, can you? Oh, man. You know, look, there's so much technology just to be rediscovered. There's so much technology to be discovered. There's so many different possibilities out there. And as long as you allow yourself to be limited by what is said in the book, then you will never... You know, speaking of the book, take some books. Go get a science book from the 1900s, and then one from the 1930s, and then one from the 1960s and 70s and 80s and 90s, and bring them all up to the year 2014. I will almost guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the oldest book that you've got is going to have the best science in it, and the newest book is going to have some sort of polar bears are going to drown because of global warming BS in there.
You know, I have a question. on possibility or impossibility. Is it possible to use the same energy over and over again to do the same job?
I believe so.
I believe it is.
I believe so.
I will not say whether I believe it's possible or not. I will say this. I think we're going to find out within the next 3 to 6 months.
Well, hypothetically, a Stirling engine, it's a heat engine. You put heat in the bottom, it comes out the top, and the engine runs. Well, when the heat comes out the top, why couldn't you capture that heat and run it through another Stirling engine? Heat rises, so the second engine would just be higher than the first, and when you put the heat into it, you have to get it out at the top. So the engine runs, and you would just collect that heat and put it into another Stirling engine a little higher than that. And since water is a good storage battery for heat, use of water.
Mm-hmm. Well,
think about that.
There's other forces involved in there, too, that could be captured as well. There's all kinds of waste energy and everything. What do you think?
That's what I was talking about, the cold steam turbine and air conditioning.
I think I'm done talking about that because I'm hoarse from talking about it.
you're compressing it and putting it outside. Well, when you put it outside, rather than just throwing it into the atmosphere, use it to heat up oil. Preferably vegetable oil because it's organic. And vegetable oil doesn't boil until it gets over 600 degrees. So you can put a lot of heat in the vegetable oil, run it through a cold steam turbine, and make electricity. Well, now you've got that's going to cool this oil. Well, now in cooling the oil, you've already heated up all this water and boiled it at 60, 70 degrees. It's turned into steam. You know, it's coming off with all its heat. Duh, what are you going to do with that heat? Something else. Is it possible to use the same energy over and over again to do the same job? Yes. Is it possible? Yes. How do we do it? I'm not positive about that, but it is definitely possible.
Well, I've got an idea on the subject there about whether or not it's possible. I had many conversations with Ryan over the Slayer Exciter, and he said that that thing would run as low as 3 volts. Well, when I did a video on that deal, I had a Slayer Exciter that was sitting on top of a coil that had a germanium diode that was charging a capacitor that was running a little 9-volt circuit. Now, it didn't run the circuit completely, but it was almost up to 3 volts. And so with that said, what's to stop you from building a better system with more germanium diodes and capacitors that would literally pick up that energy and pump it right back into the circuit and run that circuit by itself? You see what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, and that's exactly the way I see it.
Well, I was going to say, actually, that's apparently old information because G. Bluer, the guy that basically came up with the whole Slayer Exciter thing from Dr. Stifler's concept for the Jewel Thief, was running a Slayer Exciter off of a single AA battery and actually lighting up a 40-watt fluorescent bulb.
Well, there you go, man. And that's what I'm saying. You know, hey, it's not possible, but G. Bluer did it. Doggone it.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I've got every day, that is my normal response to anybody when I try to do something or I'm going to do something, and somebody walks up to me, and I've had this happen a lot in my life. So I just come up with a standard form response. Oh, you can't do that. That's impossible. That won't work. And so I look at them, and I say, does that mean I have to go back and undo the other 6?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to, man, because you can't go outside the rules. You know, it's like drawing in on you know, those little crayon books that little kids draw. You got to stay in the lines to make the picture look good.
Yeah, you can't be one of the kids who never learned how to color inside the lines.
Yeah, it has to be inside the lines. Go back to the corner.
That's a shout out, by the way, to an 80s and 90s punk band from Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was their name.
Yeah, keep it between the lines. We're talking science here, you know, and we got to be we got to be politically correct when we're talking about science because the Earth is flat, man.
Right. And the water in the oceans is held on the Earth by magic.
Yeah, that's it. And there, hey, you just said it too. You know, science can't explain what actually holds the proton, the neutron, and electron together. They actually said, well, we don't know. It's magic.
That's actually why they're searching for these other particles, because they have theories that basically would work if they can find all the components to prove that they exist. But until they find all those other components, they just remain a theory.
Yeah, but as the rule stands
right
now, like
the Higgs boson particle, you know, that's what's supposed to give it mass.
Yeah, as it's...
That's not what holds it together, but that's what gives it mass. So after they get that, then they'll eventually find the rubber bands that hold everything together.
But listen, brother, as the rules stand right now, and as the books stand right now, it is
not possible.
There is no Higgs boson. You know, it's not possible because the Earth is flat, by golly, and stuff. Look, I'm just trying, and I've been doing this for a long time. I've been trying to test the waters and put things out there, ideas and getting concepts to get people to think outside the box. Is this possible or not? Have I been cursed out? Yeah, I've been calling everything under the sun and then some. You know, because I refuse to be stuck in the box. I refuse to, you know, everybody talks about freedom, but freedom isn't just about being able to walk wherever you want. Freedom is about where your mind can go. You're only limited by your imagination. And if your imagination has limitations such as you believe that this book says you can't do this, because then you ain't going to be able to do that. But if you look at nature, nature's doing it right in front of your face. How is this happening? It's not possible. You see what I'm saying?
Perfect example. Water will not run uphill. However, trees lift water 150 feet in the air.
Yeah, without electricity.
Our Libby redwood trees are well over 300 feet, and the water gets to the top of them, too.
Without electricity. So, maybe you can learn something from a tree. At least you can learn how to stand still with your arms out. Ta-da!
Well, let's say we can't do so many things, but there's a lot of things that you know, that we don't believe are possible that they've been doing for a long time, since the 1960s.
All right, here I got an example. I don't want to go off into some sort of alien conspiracy theory or anything like that. I just want to kind of throw this out there. All right, I see these nifty gizmos every once in a while in the sky, and they seem to not act like the normal plane. They seem to be able to do things and go in directions and at speeds at which the, our modern technology shouldn't be capable of. So, what I'm seeing in the air and what I've learned from science and aerodynamics is not possible. So I'm imagining what I'm seeing. I didn't see what I saw. So whenever I see something, I have to believe that I did not just see that. And so that's what I'll say. I didn't see it. Did you see it? No.
Trying to tell us that you're a redneck. I know Yankees, they got their theories about rednecks, you know, like everybody's married to their sister, you know, and they've all seen the UFO. Well, I'm a redneck, and I want Yankees to understand, okay? I couldn't swear it for the UFO. It might have been a weather balloon, and I did not marry my sister. I only dated her.
Well, all I can say is this, man. When you see lights in the sky do things that aren't possible, and you ask the question, the very first thing you ask the average Joe, you say, hey, you know, I think I saw a UFO. Their eye goes slightly crooked, their head tilts back, and they're like, what? Are you crazy? UFOs don't exist.
You know, actually, if you stop and think about it, I think just about anybody that has lived 21 years on this face of this earth has seen a UFO. Because if you think, what does UFO mean? Unidentified flying object. Well, if you see a bird flying through the air and you can't identify what kind of a bird it is, duh, is that a UFO?
I got hit in the eye socket with a walnut, and I didn't know what it was. I couldn't identify it until way after.
Really?
Yeah. I had a black eye from heck, man.
But these people that aren't rednecks, they're they've seen UFOs too.
You know, that's the thing, you know, and the question outside the norm, you know, I just wish the average Joe would get past the whole point of I know more than you know, and so you're wrong and I'm right. No matter what you say, I'm going to just, you know, disagree. I wish the average Joe would get to the point where they would question the norm, where they would think outside the box, where they'd use some critical deductions and look at things, step back and look at the big picture and say, you know, things like, hey, you know, if I added this to that, I could get this to do more than what they said it could do. You know?
Yes. That's, I like that. Key. Take something that works and see, can I make it do this? It's not supposed to, but can I? Yeah, you can.
Yep. And I think X13s. What was the purpose of the X13 motor that you guys were talking about? It was for an air conditioning unit, right?
That's for split systems where your condensing coils are on the outside. It's the motor that drives the fan.
Yeah, but right? it wasn't designed to be a generator, but for some reason they made a mistake and built a generator when they built that motor.
Exactly.
With huge ceramic magnets to make it cheap, and they still charge you around $600-$700.
Right.
Well, the whole thing is there are other things out there that can repurpose. I did a video called Redneck Hot Tub, where I took a coffee pot and I heated up a full tub full of water with that coffee pot and made a redneck hot tub. Actually got a video done on it. But anyway, you know, it wasn't what it was meant to be for. It was meant to percolate coffee. I just saw this thing and I said, well, you know, hey, it might take a little longer to heat up the tub, but after a while it'll get so hot you can't set in it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I did it. So I plugged it in the morning. In the afternoon, I'd be taking a hot tub bath outside, you know. It was cool.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I almost got you
on TV.
Yeah.
I went to a thrift store and I'm here about 6 or 8 months ago, and I bought 5 or 6 coffee pots just to bring them back to the shop to play with them and do stuff like you're talking about.
Yep.
And they were $2 a piece. Give me a break.
Our hot water heater went bad in our new house. It was only a small one anyway because we bought a modular to customize into a house, but that's a long story. But either way, the hot water heater went bad. And so it's obvious that I don't like taking cold baths. So what I did was use the same concept that I used for the redneck hot tub and some copper tubing, and I made a deal to heat the bath water. It has a pump that circulates the water through that coffee pot element and then goes up through a coil of copper tubing and then back down into the tub, and it just recirculates the water until it's so warm that you know, you're comfortable in it. If you leave it running too long, it'll get too hot, and you have to wait for it to cool down before you can take a bath.
Here's a hot water thing that'll blow your mind. We had a gas hot water heater, and because the people owed like $600 before, they wanted us to pay that. And it was a rent house, and I said, well, you know, I can't change out the heater and do all this other stuff and make it electric. So I got the harebrained idea. I took a hair dryer. I put it on low. I took off the stack that throws the exhaust out. There's a wavy plate in the center that makes the air go back and forth after it's heated at the bottom. I've kind of picked it up a few inches, bent it to the side, and stuck the end of that hairdryer in there on low. 20 minutes, a full tank of hot water at 750 watts instead of 3600.
Wow.
And the water would stay warm for no problem. You turn it on for 20 minutes, 3 times a day. Oh, man, no problem.
Who was the first person that ever said, necessity is the mother of invention?
Well, you know what? I would take any poor person against any electrical engineer any time, any day, because that poor person, they have to figure out how to use it right.
talk about poor people. I went to Mexico the first time I ever went down to see my in-laws, and you know, they're happy people, but they don't have quite creature comforts we do, and they don't have the money to buy them if it was viable down there. But anyway, first day I'm there,
9 minutes
shower, and I crawled in the shower after the sun went down, and I'm screaming and hollering with icicles growing off my chin and my nose. So the next morning I went up, I went to the plumbing supply, bought 600 feet of black plastic pipe, brought it home, threw it up on the roof. 42 minutes later, we had hot water. I mean all the water you could possibly use. You could open the water line wide open at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it didn't, I mean, it was so hot it would blister you. You had to add cold water to it in order to take a shower. The water was 140 degrees.
Well,
constant, all day.
Like just, you said.
Well, it took 42 minutes and $43.
Like you said, necessity is the mother of invention, and there may come a time whenever necessity is going to put you in a position to where you need electricity. And what we're trying to tell you out there is energy is free. You just got to get out there and use it. You got to learn a few things, you know, and it's that simple. Knowledge is power.
My necessity was I was visiting my in-laws for the first time, and I didn't want to stink and have them run from me. And I needed to wash. I can't wash with cold water.
Tell them what Mama said after Papa got a shower.
Exactly.
Tell them what Mama said after Papa got a shower.
Oh, yeah. Papa come home that night, went took a shower. Oh, my Lord have mercy. He was in there whistling and singing. The man was in there for 45 minutes. She told me, she said, that is the first time in 25 years he has been in the shower for more than 3 minutes. He comes out soaking wet, towel wrapped around his body, smiling and beaming. I mean, I thought he might just duct tape put on the back of his head to keep his flat hip from falling off. He smiled so hard. He said something to my mother-in-law. At that time, my Spanish wasn't that great. I couldn't remember what he said. But she jumped down, threw her arms around me, put her face up next to mine, looked at him and said, "That's my son, the warlock."
Well, guys, we're down to the wire. We got like 7 minutes left there to go, and I got some stuff to play on the way out. But either way, you know, it's been an amazing conversation, and the whole key is that, you know, if you think outside the box, then you're going to be all right. If you think you can't do it, you're just not going to be able to do it, and that's all there is to it. So with that said, you want to go around real quick and let everybody have their last word, but got to make it quick.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Shazia said it all. When you lose your imagination, you lose your ability. Imagine, dream, think, and then get up and do it.
Yep.
I'll say, I'm going to add on to that. One of the quotes that you actually can trace back to Einstein, and that's that one drop of imagination is worth oceans of knowledge.
Yep.
Because all oceans of knowledge spring forth from the well of imagination.
If you can imagine it, you can do it.
That's
when
what
the
I'm
dream
saying.
Is lost, the people perish.
All right. Well, with that said, you've heard it from some brilliant minds around the world, you know. And there's more. There's more of you out there. I know there is. In the alternative energy community, you guys are going to have to come together and do something, you know. You know, we don't know whether doomsday is coming or ain't coming or whatever. We don't know whether the power grid's going down. But one thing that we all can agree on, we should be a whole lot further advanced in society than we are. And the folks at the top will like to hold you back because of finances or whatever, control reasons. And I'm saying, you know, get out there, learn as much as you can, share your knowledge freely amongst each other, and take our world into a better place. It's as simple as that. So with that said, I'll tell everybody out there peace and love, and thanks to everybody who tuned into the Mad Science Show and the Knights of the Round Table is tomorrow. I'd like to see you there as well. And thanks to all the Mad Science guys here on the deal. So peace and love, everybody. Take care.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!